Let's hear God speaking to us in his word now. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So far God's word. Brothers and sisters, as always, keep his word open or near to you as we look at this passage together. But first of all, let's bring his word to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we would seek to be wise. We would seek to serve you with fear, to rejoice in your awe, to bow before you as your people. And part of doing that is sitting under your word now. So make us wise this morning, we pray. Lift up our heads and our hearts above the noise, above the clamor of this world. Give us peace, comfort, encouragement, and challenge from your word now. Make us wise, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the privileges I have as a pastor is to go and make baby visits. I love as a pastor going to visit newborn babies. Get to have a little cuddle, hold them in my arms. They always look so calm and serene, at least for a little while anyway. That lovely new baby smell, that quiet look, peaceful look on their face. And what's more, after a little while, I get to give them back as well. But this morning, as we start looking and turning our attention towards Christmas, our eyes and our minds are drawn to a certain baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come into a time of Advent, which comes from the Latin word Adventus. Does anyone actually know this morning what that word means? Can anyone tell me? What does Advent mean? Have a go, have a guess. Any Latin scholars here? Comes? Yep. What comes? Yeah. The future? Yeah, that's all there in the word. The simple English definition, it's along those lines, is arrival. Something is arriving. That's exactly what you were alluding to there, Aria. It's a time of preparation, a time of looking forward to a celebration, as we do, looking forward to Christmas, to the time of the birth of our Saviour. Now, babies grow up. All babies, and I think you'll agree with me, all babies are cute. At least that's every parent will say their baby is cute. And I'm sure that the Lord Jesus was a cute baby. But that's not why he came. Jesus did not come just to be a baby, just to bring joy to his parents. No, the Lord Jesus Christ came as a baby, yes, but he came to suffer. He came to die. Now that's not a very Christmassy message in some ways, is it? But the truth of our Lord Jesus coming is that he came to die for his people, to rise again. He came to conquer sin and death and hell and the forces of evil. He came to be a king. And it's Jesus as king that we're going to be focusing in these weeks up to Christmas. Why are we doing this? Because we need that reminder. I need that reminder. You need that reminder. As we live in this busy world, as we go from government announcement to government announcement, as we live busy lives, as we deal with our fears and our trials, we need that reminder that Jesus is King. The message of hope that a world needs to hear at this Christmas time. So this morning our theme is this: the Lord's anointed is our refuge. The Lord's anointed is our refuge. And we're going to follow the four different speakers through our passage this morning. Someone speaks in verses 1 to 3, someone else speaks in verses 4 through 6, and then 7 to 9, and then verses 10 through 12. So our first point this morning covers verses 1 through 3. And our point is this: the nation's rage. The nation's rage. Have you ever been in a room full of squealing children? Our girls are grown up now, but in earlier days with birthday parties and a house full of young girls squealing and screaming, it makes a fair bit of noise. Go into a kindergarten where you have a good number of children expressing their joy and also their dissatisfaction. Or if you've been up to Patoa Farms, go and stand close to one of the barns with all the piglets and all the squealing going on there. As you listen to those noises, if you're in the middle of all those noises, you might sometimes say to yourself, I can hardly hear myself think. And that's the picture that Psalm 2 gives us. Why do the nations rage? That word there, rage, is talking about a noise, a senseless, angry noise. Just simply babble. The nations, the psalmist says, are making a whole lot of noise. The nations are plotting their plans. And the psalmist lays all his cards out on the table right from the beginning. Why do the nations rage, make useless noise? And the peoples plot in vain. They're scheming. They're plotting. It's a waste of time. It's in vain. It's futile. They are simply wasting their time. Now, what is it that their plans consist of? Verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. It's not actually clear here about what the leaders are doing or when they are doing this. At least not at face value. It's not actually clear about who wrote the psalm as we look at Psalm 2. But boys and girls, as we read from Acts 4, I said to pay attention. Hopefully you're paying attention. Did anyone notice there in Acts 4 verse 25... who the apostles said was the author of the psalm? Did anyone notice? Someone's going to have a guess, and it's going to be a pretty easy guess, but can anyone tell me? Right at the back there, Tyler.
David?
That's right, it was King David. That's what the apostles said. Now, we're not told here in the psalm, but the apostles note it was from King David. King David wrote the psalm. And it's King David, throughout his life, throughout his reign, had many enemies and many nations come and attack him. But it's also clear that this psalm isn't just talking about David or any of David's descendants, his immediate descendants. Now, Acts chapter 4 makes it clear that this psalm is firmly about the Lord Jesus Christ. They quote the psalm directly in Acts chapter 4 and say this is a psalm that shows how Pilate and Herod and all the people of Israel and the Gentiles were against Jesus Christ. It's against Christ that they were making their plots and their plans. Jesus Christ is the ultimate anointed king that is talked about here in Psalm chapter 2. Jesus is the king that was promised. Now, another question, maybe for the grown-ups a bit more. The word anointed, translated anointed here, speaks to something particular, a phrase in Hebrew. What does anyone know the Hebrew word for anointed? You do know it, but you just don't know you know it. But anyone? Starts with M. Messiah, absolutely, Sean. Yeah, Messiah or Mashiach in Hebrew. And so when the Jews were reading the psalm and hearing the psalm, they knew that it was being spoken about here, the anointed, was the Messiah, the promised king, the king that the rulers of the earth would attack, would fight, would bring their plots and their plans against. And Acts 4 makes it clear that that's what the rulers of the day did to Jesus Christ. They rejected him. That's what governments do today, actively rejecting Jesus Christ when they persecute the church of Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, and also in the New Testament, when they are persecuting you, they are actually persecuting me. As he challenged Paul, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" As Paul persecuted the church. Any government that seeks to suppress Christianity is fulfilling the words of the psalm. But our own government does the same. The laws that our country is based on are based on English common law. Going back to English law, these were based quite clearly on the Ten Commandments. But our own government today and governments preceding are slowly attempting to disassemble all of those commandments. This passage is being fulfilled today in our country. Whether our government knows that it is actively doing so or not, they are making plans against the Lord and his anointed. Now, whether you believe our government is in collusion with other governments, whether you believe that our government is working on their own, or whatever you believe in these times of COVID, the point is this that the psalm is making. The point that David is making through the words of the Holy Spirit is that any opposition to Jesus Christ, any plan against Jesus Christ is vanity, is futile, is a total waste of time. The nations rage. The nations make their noise. But in response, and that's our second point this morning, God laughs. God laughs. And as I've entitled this point, God laughs, but it certainly isn't funny. Here we're looking at verses 4 to 6. And we're meant to see a contrast here. The kings of the earth set themselves, the kings that are down on the earth. And where is God? Where is God? Verse 4. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Imagine that there's a small ant farm just behind me here outside. And then someone is sitting on the foothills of Canterbury and they've got a really powerful telescope and they're looking all the way down to just here, looking at these little ants beavering away. That's kind of a picture of God in the heavens looking down on us, looking down on the earth. The rulers of the earth down here, God up here looking down in control and in authority. Now, times are constantly changing for us, aren't they? Government announcements that seem to change from minute to minute. It's hard to keep up with them. It's hard to get your head around them. As we met as a session on Thursday night, we spent some time going, what does this mean? How are we going to do this? What happens if this changes? We had to look at Christmas Eve and say, well, we can't do what we'd like to do and what we've tried to do in years gone by and invite the whole community together because of the limitations that we face. You have probably had to look at Christmas this year and think, how are we going to do this? What plans are we going to make? And I'm sure for all of us, if not, but for all of us, that plans that we've made this year, things that we've wanted to do, places we've wanted to go, have had to change. But not for God. For God, it is business as usual. His plans don't change. They don't need to change because they're perfect. And as God responds to the rulers of the earth, he's not changing anything. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision, verse 4. He speaks to them in his wrath and terrifies them in his fury, saying, verse 6, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. For God is business as usual. God's not caught by surprise. And he responds and tells the nations, take notice, be warned. He puts his king in control. Not King David, not King David's sons, but the greater king who was descended from King David, King Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, this should reassure us this morning. We don't need to be worried about COVID-19, about governments, about corporations, about big pharma. We don't need to worry about traffic lights. We need not worry about what is happening around us because God has got it. God is in control. God is king through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is king. And because of that, brothers and sisters, we need not worry. We need not fear. God laughs in derision at the nations. They are not in control. Our King Jesus Christ is. And God's plans continue through Jesus Christ. That's our third point this morning. God's plans continue. Someone else speaks again. We have a change in voice. God is speaking in verses 3 through 6. In verse 7, the king himself speaks. Now, it could be King David speaking. In 2 Samuel, verse 7, we have God's promise to David. In 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, we read this. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. It could be God speaking to David. But what the New Testament makes clear is here is God speaking to his son, Jesus Christ. Here is Jesus speaking in the Son. As God said in Matthew 3 at Jesus' baptism, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. A similar thing said to the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. And in Acts chapter 13, we won't go there now, but in Acts 13, if you're making notes, the Apostle Paul also takes this phrase and attributes it to Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. We have here a picture of a king at his coronation. A king being publicly recognized and speaking after that, a telling of what the Lord had said to him, what God had said to him. Now, our passage here in verse 7 isn't saying that Jesus became God's son on the day of his coronation as king. No, this was the day that it was publicly recognized. When my oldest daughter was born, it was a fact that she was born at a certain time. Don't ask me the specific time. I do know the day. I can remember the birthday. But she was born, but no one actually yet knew about it. I was dying to go and shout from the roof of the hospital, my daughter has been born. But that hadn't happened yet. The announcement hadn't been made. I got to call grandparents, got to call brothers and sisters and announce and say, I have a daughter. And that's what's being said here. Jesus Christ has always been God's Son. But here in our psalm is being publicly announced for all to hear. And then as Jesus enters heaven in his coronation as king, having conquered death and hell, his father asks him, "What would you like as a present? What would you like as a present to mark your coronation or your becoming king?" Verse 8, "Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession." The father here as a gift is saying, "I will give you all the nations, people from all different walks of life, different nations." Here we have a picture of the gospel going out to all the nations. As a result of Jesus Christ's work, as a result of his sacrifice, the gospel being freely proclaimed to all. The gospel being proclaimed regardless of race, regardless of sex, regardless of vaccination status. A reminder too that we serve the King as his messengers, as we go out and bring the gospel to all and everyone, as much and as freely as we can, as we follow and serve our King, proclaiming the message of hope of Jesus Christ. But what's also clear is that Psalm 2 is speaking and looking forward to the future beyond us as well. Verse 9, "You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." What's clear here is that, and the New Testament makes that clear for us, is that the psalmist is looking beyond to the second advent of Jesus Christ. The time, the arrival again of Jesus Christ as he returns. Revelation 2 speaks about how Jesus will come and rule with a rod of iron. Revelation 12 verse 5 says the same. And then in Revelation 19, one of my favourite verses in the Bible, Revelation 19, we have a picture, this picture, of Jesus returning in glory. Revelation 19, verse 11, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dripped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, sees what is going on in the world, sees what has gone on, and he will make it right. He will subdue the nations. We need not fear. No matter what happens, we will be okay as his people. No matter what traffic light we're under, no matter if we suffer from COVID, if we suffer from long COVID, if we die from COVID, we will be okay. Because our King is in control. God's plans cannot be stopped. Any nation's opposition to Jesus Christ is futile. And our final three verses come with a warning for the rulers of the earth, but also tremendous encouragement. Our fourth and final point this morning is this: we are called to seek refuge in him. Verses 10 through 12, we have the narrator speaking again, the psalmist King David speaking again. First of all, there's a call to the nations. In light of what has been said, a warning. "Therefore, O kings, be wise." What does being wise look like? Verse 11. "Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling." Hear the warning, rulers of the earth. Serve Jesus Christ. Bow the knee to him. Recognize that you are not the ultimate authority. Whether you are king, president, prime minister, whether you are part of the government, Jesus Christ is your king. Kiss the Son, the psalm says to our rulers. Now this picture here is of a conquering king with a signet, with a ring on his finger, and the vanquished enemies kissing this ring. Or a humble servant coming before the great king and kissing his ring as a symbol of obedience and service. There's a warning here to our nation's leaders. Take care. Jesus Christ is not to be trifled with, not to be made fun of, not to ignore, not to be taken seriously. And if you oppose Jesus Christ, you will be called to account. You will perish. You will face destruction. Jesus Christ is patient, but his patience will not last forever. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, we need to be praying for our leaders. We need to pray for Jacinda Ardern, for Grant Robertson, for Christopher Hipkins. We need to pray for Christopher Luxton, for Nicola Willis, as they take on their new roles from this past week. We need to pray that they would bow the knee before Jesus Christ, that they would kiss the Son and worship him. But there's also an individual call this morning. A call to you this morning, if you're here this morning, if you're watching via live stream, if you're watching in the future. The call too to you this morning is kiss the Son. Bow the knee to him. If you have not kissed the Son, if you have not bowed before Jesus Christ, this passage is a warning to you this morning. Be wise. Be warned. Bow the knee to him. Submit to him. The Lord is patient, but he will not be patient forever. Bow the knee to him. Submit. So that you too can find refuge in this great and awesome King. Because that is where hope, peace, security is found. The final part there of verse 12. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Brothers and sisters, this Christmas time, this Advent season, this is where we are to find our refuge. To look to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not a cute baby in a manger, but a king who rules victoriously, who is in control of all things. Have you found your refuge in him? Have you found your hope in him? Who do you look to? What do you look to when you're afraid? Who do you look to in your struggles and your trials? King David reminds all of us this morning, look to the Messiah. Look to the Lord's anointed. I need this reminder this morning. You need this reminder. We all need this reminder when we're frustrated with our government, with the changing rules, when we're frustrated with each other, when we get angry with each other, when we wonder what the future will be like for us. King David tells us this morning, find your refuge in your King. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but holy trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to veil his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. his oath, his covenant. His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we so desperately need our refuge at this time. All of us, at various times and various stages, are struggling, Lord, in our lives. You know our struggles. We pray this morning, especially for those who are not struggling, who are keen, who are content to live the life they are living without a care, without thinking about the call and the warning that they have to submit, to bow the knee before Jesus Christ, to kiss the Son and worship him. Work in their hearts so that they may know what true hope is, what true peace is. But Father, we all need to be reminded as we are pulled to and fro, as sometimes it feels like we are only treading water, sometimes it feels like the water is rushing over our heads, help us to find our refuge in you. And help us to be part of the mission that you have given your Son, Jesus Christ, to go and spread this hope, this joy, this refuge to a community that is divided, to a world that finds its hope in things that disappoint. Lord, help us to bring the light of Jesus Christ in this Christmas Advent season. Give us opportunities. Help us, Lord, to know the words to say. Place us in contact with people so that we can have these sorts of conversations. Lord, we have the answer to the struggles that people are facing in our communities at the moment. We have the hope that people need. The hope of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We do conclude this morning by praying for our leaders. Lord, may they know this hope and refuge as well. May they not trust in their own abilities. May they not continue to fool themselves that the plans that they make are plans made from people who control their own destiny. We pray for the salvation of our Prime Minister and her cabinet. We pray for a good and godly government that will uphold your laws, rebuild your laws, rather than tearing them down. But regardless of what happens, Heavenly Father, calm our fears. Calm our sorrows. Calm our anxieties and help us to trust in you. We say together with the psalmist this morning, blessed are all who take their refuge in Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's sing praise now to our King, number 208. We're going to sing the first four stanzas, and then we're going to conclude with after the blessing with the final two stanzas. Number 208, stanzas 1 to 4. Let's stand and sing praises to our Saviour's name.